Greetings this morning. And even more so, a greeting from me, a greeting from our God who was, who is, and who will ever be. And I believe is smiling down on those of us who have gathered in worship this morning and will smile down on those who come in 5 minutes from now. So, amen. That's right. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you will take a moment to look around, and if there are faces that are not familiar to you, I would like you at some point, perhaps after the service, to go introduce yourselves and welcome them as our guests this morning. And if you are visiting with us, we are very glad that you are here. We have pads at the end of the pews, and if you would be so kind as to sign those and let us know of your attendance, we would appreciate that. Busy time in the year of the church as we head into fall, and I don't know about you, but the fall weather this morning is just refreshing, and So get your pots of soup and stew and cornbread and all of that ready as we head toward our fall festival this year. And just a reminder, when are we doing Christmas caroling?
December 10th.
From the Voice of Authority. And again, we ask that if you are going to attend, just take just a second and fill out those attendance sheets so that we can plan and make sure that we have enough drinks and everything for someone. You have an announcement?
I would just like to re-emphasize the fall festival.
Okay.
I'd just like to talk a little bit more about it. Sorry, we up there, I don't think. Okay, so there it is. Two inserts. The one that's white is all about the fall festival. And there's a couple of things that we really want to emphasize with this. Is one, attendance is so important. Just come and have fun. Bring a friend. Bring kids. Come and enjoy it. A party's no fun without people to come and have fun with. So that's really the big emphasis. We've been talking a lot about the chili cook-off, but I know that we have a lot of people here that are really good with desserts. So we really love to see your desserts, too. And if you want to compete, we'd be happy to taste everything and let you know whose is the best. So, you know, you let me know if that competitive spirit is pushing you, because we'll be happy to give some blue ribbons out if we need to. But we would love to have your desserts. We would love to have your presents. And we would love to have your warm smiles, because this is a community event. So we're doing it a little differently. This is outreach committee. So this is not just us, but this is our neighborhood. We want to start finding more ways to connect rather than just the Saturday breakfast. And this is a fun way to do it. We've got a lot of great music. We've got a lot of fun things. And we have a blood drive, too. So bring your blood. I'm sure it will help out people who are in emergency situations. So that's it. I won't take too much more of your time, but please do consider putting this on your calendar and come and have fun with us.
And Jennifer sort of worked into the scripture this morning when she said, a party is no fun without people. You're going to hear in a little while that God says the very same thing. It is no fun without people. So please come. On our prayer list this morning, obviously, we continue to pray for those who are being affected by a natural disaster of every kind and sort and degree. And I know that as we give to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, we as a congregation are part, doing our little part to help in those areas. As far as other prayer concerns, we have Larry on our prayer concerns this morning. And then Jacob asked that I let you know that One of his friends, Marilyn, has passed away, and so Jacob called and asked for prayer for this family. It is a friend of Ginger's for whom we have been praying for quite some time, and so keep that family in your prayers as well as Jacob. We are coming to that time of cooler weather and settling in. And I always pray that for those in our congregation who have spent maybe the summer season traveling, that now the cooler weather is coming, that we will find them more and more settled and maybe even challenged to be in these pews. It is more fun when more of us are here. We've been blessed all year long, I think, with travel stories of those who have gone. We have especially been blessed with experiences of those who have traveled outside the bounds of the U.S., those who have made friendships with people of different color and different religions and culture and language. And I think it's a good reminder to us that we also are a congregation, perhaps not wide in diversity, but a congregation of diversity, and that is always good. And so this morning, our musical offerings are those that will celebrate the gift of the Spanish language. The women's choir is going to be doing a prayer adaptation from a Spanish saint named Teresa of Avila, and Carlos, the piece that he's going to be playing for us, is also by a Spanish composer this year. And part of those words, I think, are wonderful words for us this morning. I pray that even as we face things unknown, as the apostle would say, let us not worry. And then from this song that you will hear, let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. And so this morning we are still, Lord, and we know that your spirit is in this place. Let us worship the Lord. Thank you.
Let us praise God, whose goodness and steadfast love are everlasting.
With joy and praise God's wonderful deeds.
Happy are those who act justly and whose lives reflect God's righteousness at all times.
So look on us today, O God, for we rejoice in all your faithful deeds, for those who are on the course.
Like them, we have sinned. We fall far short of your goodness. Yet, as you heard Moses' prayer for his people and delivered them from certain death and destruction,
so you hear Jesus' prayers for us and graciously grant us the gift of salvation.
Let us together praise God, whose goodness and steadfast love are everlasting. You may be seated. Called to have the same mind as Christ, we often spend too much time thinking about all those ways which then lead us astray. But if we confess our sins, God will forgive us and strengthen us to be Christ's sisters and brothers. Join me as we pray together, saying,
to reflect on those ways in which we ourselves can act justly, the ways that we can act honorably, and the ways that we can love completely, because it is God's full, complete love in Jesus Christ that allows us to do that. And so thanks be to God, whom in Jesus Christ has forgiven our sins. By the power of your Spirit,
align our hearts with yours, so that we can speak the words to others which you have spoken to us in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
The epistle reading this morning is from Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Today we hear Paul's letter to new Christians. It is a letter of encouragement, thanksgiving, peace, and a prayer for strength for them to continue as the called disciples they are. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Not a day to live, not a day.
Thanks be to God who never changes. Our gospel lesson this morning, we continue in Matthew, and we have yet another parable that our Lord shares with the disciples and with all of the listeners. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they wouldn't come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready, so come to the wedding banquet." But they made light of it, and they went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest were seized by slaves, mistreated them. While the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers, and he burned their city. And then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited weren't worthy. So go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone that you find to come to this wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and they gathered all who they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed that there was a man who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, "Friend, how do you get in here without a wedding robe?" The man was speechless. And the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And just a side comment, if you're reading through the book of Matthew, you might notice exactly what happens after the Lord calls you friend. It may not necessarily be such a friendly thing. I want to invite our young disciples to come down this morning. I think we have the girls that are here. Whoops, I got my piano turned around wrong. You want to play? You want to play? How'd I do, Melody? Yay! What happens sometimes when you have a lot of music and instruments and people are laughing and dancing and singing? What do you call that?
There's a lot of noise.
There's a lot of noise, yes. It's a party. Yes, it is. It is a party. And guess what? This morning, if you listen really carefully, Jesus says that there is a man who invited a whole bunch of people to a party. Now, if you were invited to a party, would you go?
No.
Yeah, it probably depends on who's throwing the party, but yes, you would. Well, in this case, this was the king who was throwing the party, and people said, I don't have time. Nah, that doesn't sound like fun. I got other things to be doing, and so they didn't go to the party. Do you remember what the king did? What would you do if you threw a party and nobody showed up?
I would cry.
You would cry?
I would do nothing and never give them nothing.
We're not going to say that one. But that's the spirit, girl. Okay. What happens is the man who does the party is kind of like God. And God says, you know what? Life is a party. And I want you to enjoy it every single day as much as you can. And what happens when we go through a day or when we come into church and we're just kind of sitting here and we don't really want to be here, and it's not really like a party. Do you think God is happy?
No.
Do you think it makes God sad?
It makes him sad.
Yeah, I would think it would make him sad. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, what the scripture wants us to learn is that all of life is a gift from God. And God knows that there are things that come up. There are things that take up our time. There are things that happen that are not good. But God says, always be grateful for the blessings that you do have. And when we do that, God says, it's more like a party. And so, for those things in your life that aren't always good, that aren't always happy, can you still thank God for the things that are good in your life? Okay. Can we? Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this wonderful life that really is a party if we will but accept your invitation to be joyful and to love and to care for others as you have shown us in Jesus Christ. For these little ones, God, may life's party be grand and great and full for them. They truly are your children, and they are pleasing to you. Amen. Marching through the book of Matthew, if you have not noticed, Jesus is actually getting closer and closer to the cross. And I think that that is a very intentional thing that Matthew does. Matthew is asking us to walk every step with Jesus every day in order for us to feel the urgency of the message that Jesus has for us, that we might hear with greater ears the invitation that Jesus is giving us, not just to walk beyond the cross, but to walk into this thing we call a heavenly banquet, everlasting life, a party like none of us have ever experienced before. This invitation from Jesus, the ultimate act of hospitality, has us sitting at table with our triune God. I can't imagine a grander dinner than that one. In preparing for the sermon this morning, I came across a commentary by a pastor whose name is Carolyn Lewis. She does a lot of commentaries on different preaching websites. And I liked what she said. She writes, "There is risk involved with hospitality offered by way of invitation for both the guest and the host." Risk on both sides. Offering and receiving hospitality can become uncomfortable. These questions we expect, she said. Did I forget someone on the list? Why weren't we invited? And I have to invite them. Oh, but what if they come? You ever said any of those? Well, hospitality, I think, can make for some awkward moments. It also can make for some comic relief. But here in this parable this morning, as we heard, the menu has been planned, the wine has been purchased, the table has been set, the angels are ready to sing, and perhaps, Carolyn Lewis says, the greater question for those of us who are children of God is this: How does God feel when the invitation to his party is rejected? The king in this story offered the invitation to this grand wedding banquet for his son. And unlike a fairy tale wedding, the RSVPs come pouring in. However, they come pouring in saying, "No, thank you, we're busy. We have no time. We can't come celebrate with you." And as you heard, it not only takes a downward turn, it actually takes a nasty, fatal turn for some that the king has sent out on his behalf. I think it's good for us to remember that in Jesus' time, people traveled far and wide. Weddings were not just one-day events. They were days, and in some cases, they were week-long festivities. And to be invited to a wedding was a really big deal. To receive this invitation that Jesus has offered to come to the banquet, he says, that's just a little glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And if you're like me, the song that comes to mind is, "Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. The table is full, and it's ready, and it's good." So I want you to take the most joyful experience on earth that you have had so far or that you have ever imagined. Think about that for just a minute. At this point in your life, the most joyful experience that you have had. And then hear what Paul says. God has something even better than that planned for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no one can conceive all of the goodness that God has prepared for us. The bottom line is this: God is going to have a party, and we are invited. Whether we come is up to us. Through people in our lives, through just, I think, life circumstances that happen every single day, God has been inviting us to this party for our lifetimes. He has given us this offer that says, "Come to the table. It's ready. Come and feast with me." There is a disturbing part of the parable, as good as the banquet sounds and the food and the wine and the musical instruments, all of that. The disturbing side of this parable is that, as it was customary in those days, the invitations were offered twice. The first one went out well in advance with an invitation, I think like our save the dates that we do for weddings now. And it was hand-delivered by the king's messenger. So you knew that it was important. And then when the time arrived for the actual date of the banquet, you would have received a second invitation that had all of the details in it, the all you need to knows. But in this case, those details weren't worth a hill of beans. Because nobody was going to come. No one was paying attention. They ignored it. They rejected it. And they most certainly did not put that date on their calendar. On a deeper level, you and I know that that invitation to the feast is just the beginning of the problem. The real issue is they didn't just reject a party. They rejected the host. They rejected the Lord. The king is not pleased. God is not pleased when we reject all of the goodness that God has already given us and continues to give us. But this is how God deals with us. God says, "I love you anyway. The invitation to a transformed life in Jesus Christ is offered to you, but I will never force you to accept that invitation. And as a matter of fact, some will decline it, and I know that. And no, it doesn't please God. But no matter what, the feast is set, it's ready to go, and whether you and I are there or not, there's going to be a party. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be at the party than not at the party. Much more fun. And I think the thing that Jesus does throughout his ministry is to ask of us to at least make sure people know that there's a party, that they know that there is an invitation. We can't drag them kicking and screaming to the feast, but there's no excuse for us not at least telling them there's a party and they've been invited. The partygoers in this case were outcast. I'm going to assume that most of them were grateful to be included in this party that others have turned down. They fill up the banquet hall. All is going well until the king comes in and sees the one man who is not properly dressed. The king asks for an explanation. The man does not give one, and the king is not happy. He tosses him out. You and I have studied scripture enough to know it has absolutely nothing to do with church dress code. It has everything to do with a very casual, cavalier attitude, or even an indifferent attitude toward God and the way that we worship together with gratefulness. Our God is not a God who sits on a fence when it comes to worshiping and to giving thanks. He doesn't let us sit on the fence with our commitment to discipleship and to kingdom building. When I first read this story, even though I know what it's about, I'm still sort of just get that little sharp pain when the king says, "You're out of here because you're not dressed correctly." I'm kind of like, "Seriously, God?" But then you go on and you realize that the king isn't unfair. He's not unfair in his expectations that we dress for the feast, because if someone comes to the feast and is not properly attired, the king always has a robe for you. That's just like God. When we are not prepared, God helps prepare us. There is always, always a place waiting for us. But the offer is made and it's rejected. And it is by invitation only. This invitation cannot be bought. It cannot be bartered for. It cannot be taken advantage of. And I think for more than anything, this parable reminds me that every time I begin to think that I am a shoe-in for a seat at that really long table, then what I need to do is to get on my knees and to make sure that I am dressed in that peace-filled clothing Paul talks about. The peace that comes from knowing that at least my faith life is not about a casual commitment. It is not a part of my life that I can pick up and put down as I please. Works into the schedule today, this week, but not next week. Jesus wants a commitment. This is a parable about grace. I do believe that. But it is also a parable that reminds us in the end, and here's the disturbing, the uncomfortable part, but the truth, In the end, God is the judge. The final party is God's party, and it is only by God's grace that each one of us get to put on those wedding clothes that have been given to us by God. And so what do those wedding clothes look like? Well, according to Paul, here's what they could look like. With the help of the Spirit, you and I can clothe ourselves in things that are true, and things that are honorable, and things that are just, and things that are pure. Whatever is commendable in the sight of God, to clothe ourselves in the kinds of excellence that God is pleased with, that is a good wardrobe. That we can hang in our closet. And Paul goes on to say, if we do this, if we clothe ourselves in trust and in worthiness and in goodness and kindness and pureness and justice and all of those things, we don't need to sit around and worry and fret. Worry is human nature, and we're going to do it. But what Paul is telling us is, be smart enough, be trusting enough to turn those worries over to the Spirit, because help with those worries comes from God, and it is a gift. Put on the clothes, and if you worry, you worry, but ask the Spirit's help. Ask the Spirit's help. One commentator says this, that faith is meant to lead to more than just good behavior and a place in heaven later on. Faith is meant to lead to joyous living, to abundant life, and while we are not free from troubles, we are rich and deep and full of the peace of the Lord. The kind of peace that Paul says passes our human understanding, but the peace that we are promised. All this one guest needed, all he needed, was to accept what was already waiting for him. Already there was that peace-filled clothing, that robe that was offered to him by the king. Or as Paul might say to us, keep on doing those things that you have learned and received and seen from me when I put on my Christ-like clothing. Not when I was Saul, but now that I'm Paul. Put those things on, and Paul says, I promise you the peace of God will be with you. And to end, I quote Carolyn Lewis again when she says, you can't go wrong with sharing the plenty party of our gracious God in a world where a pity party is more the self-absorbed societal norm. We have much to celebrate, much to share, much to tell. Mercy's poured like the finest wine, grace that fills the plates of all who are hungry. It's like a potluck on steroids, a feast for the faint, stone soup for the soul, and a delicacy for the downtrodden. No, this is no pity party, friends. This is the real deal. It is a party, a celebration full of God's abundant love and grace, and we call it life. I pray that we who believe that we already have reservations at the banquet table will continue to check our attire, making sure that we are forever dressing in those peace-filled clothing that are pleasing to our Lord. And when we do, we have been promised not only peace beyond our understanding, but peace that flows like a river. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith using the words printed in the bulletin.
We believe in God the Father.
Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Holy Lord, give us a measure of the Spirit of Christ that we can show more of his courage and compassion for all who share this small planet with us. May your new world come, your will be done on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray for our church, for our denomination, for your church across the world, for our nation, for our leaders, for our international relations. We pray, God, for the many places and the people across the world and close to home where disaster and suffering, whether that be through all of these natural disasters or through violence or disease or, heaven forbid, hunger. We pray your care on them. For our friends, our neighbors, our fellow church members who are going through hard times, Lord, we ask your healing, your calming, your peaceful hand upon them. And we ask that you surround us with your saving love so that no person can think of themselves as being useless or being an outcast or as not having an invitation. Fill us with the optimism and the hope of Christ that in all things and all times we can trust your providence. We can trust your care. We can trust your invitation that all is ready for your heavenly banquet. Lord, may your new world come and your will on earth as it is in heaven be done. This we ask through our Lord, praying the way that he has taught us. Our Father, our giving on this morning, whether we have been lost, we feel secure and safe, it expresses our firm conviction that God is with us no matter what. May we bring God's tithes and our gifts to this table, and may the Lord do with them as the Lord wills.
Oh, sounding on a bright and glorious day.
Please pray with me.
The Great Commission, to be called out to be disciples in order that God's kingdom can be built up. And so I invite you this morning, as we speak this Great Commission together, to remind yourself how it is that you are a disciple and how is God using you in disciple making. Let us join together.
God, therefore,
Christ surround us, and the power and the comfort of the Spirit be with us.